Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a barrel tour of misguided medicine. I am your beloved co-host, Justin McElroy.
And am I also beloved?
Dually, yeah, you're beloved in a sense, for
okay.
sure.
Okay, Sydney McElroy. I'm See, I feel weird calling myself beloved, but I guess that doesn't really bother you.
Person pudding, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well.
People love it. They're wild about this guy.
Jamie. They are?
They're wild about him.
I mean, I know I am,
never
but.
Never better.
I wish I had that confidence. How do you get that?
Just be born a straight white dude, and it just comes with the territory. Mm. They hand it to you, a certificate with your baby booties.
Good. I'll remember that in my next go-round. Justin, you're not enjoying hearing today.
Oh, boy. That is putting it mildly.
You're having some issues with your hearing.
I didn't think this would get this real, but yeah, for sure. I've got some sort of like really painful tinnitus.
Which...
Tinnitus.
Yeah, tinnitus. I mean, you can say tinnitus if you want. I know what you mean.
Okay.
I think we can play fast and loose with those things as long as it's identifiable as the word that you're trying to, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to get – I know that sometimes if you say a medical word different from how some people say it, even if the way you say it is right, you'll get emails from a bunch of, well, guys telling you that you did it wrong. So I just didn't want that to happen to me.
This is true. As we've learned on this podcast – Candida and Candida are both fine when you're talking about the yeast. Mm. They're both fine. I was taught Candida. Some were taught Candida. They're acceptable.
Don't dig up this corpse again, Sydney.
I'm
we
just
can't
saying,
go
they're
again.
Both fine. There's no judgment on either side here.
Mm. There is.
This is a safe space to pronounce scientific words in the way you see fit. This is a safe space for that. Because some of them are weird. People mispronounce prescription drug names all the time. And as long as I can figure out what they mean, who cares? It's fine. You know, they're weird. They're tough. Anyway, it's because you're having some hearing difficulties, I thought it was a weird day to be talking about a musical instrument.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I won't play it for you. I couldn't.
That's
don't
fine.
Have one.
I'm glad our children, whatever you're talking about, I'm just glad our children don't have one.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to get into it. At some point you're going to need to look at a picture of it, I bet. You're going to want to Google up a picture of this thing. And if we had one in our house, it would be shattered and we would all have cuts.
Really? That sounds terrible.
It's Ben Franklin's glass harmonica. Not harmonica, harmonica, although some people do call it a harmonica. Either way, harmony is what it means.
Why are we talking about that?
Are you looking at a picture of it right now?
Well, I pulled up a video in case people wanted to hear a sample of it.
Yeah, I figure at some point you would want to do that. Thank you to Eli and Katie for recommending this topic. And then after I'd already put it all together and was ready to record our episode, Rebecca also wrote in and suggested it. So technically I thought of it first, Rebecca, but I'm going to thank you too because you did write in. So thank you all for recommending this. I had not heard of this instrument and it's deadly history.
Deadly?
Yes. It's been known as a killer musical instrument.
A killer?
Yeah.
Really? That sounds...
Deadly. It was banned. It has a whole history. Well, this is why we're talking about it on a medical history show, in case you were wondering. You know the sound it makes when, let's say you have a glass full of water, or like there's your glass full of iced coffee. I don't think that's going to work. But a glass full of water.
It'll work.
And
I know what you're talking about.
You take a wet finger, and that, yeah, Justin's doing it. And I mean, I could describe that to you, but you probably know what that looks like. Except for how excited he looks. Like the look of like, like childlike glee as he's rubbing his wet finger around the rim of this glass in an attempt to make it make a noise. That is not the noise.
You know.
That is not the beautiful.
They're missing it.
Okay. Not that. That is not the lovely,
not even
resonant
close.
Tone that I was referencing. You know when some people do it and it makes a nice sound?
I've seen people do that before. They have those like at a cosi, they have the balls, you know the ones where you rub it, yeah.
So, yes, and people have known this for a long time. Like people had glasses of water long enough for somebody to idly rub their finger around the edge and then go, "Oh,
this
oh
made a dry fart noise. Oh my, who would want to listen to this?"
Like back to Renaissance times, people write about like, did you know this worked? And anything that uses like glass like that is that class of instruments. This is a family of instruments.
Really?
Crystallophones.
Crystallophones. That's a nice
word. There are a variety of glass instruments, not just this harmonica that we're focusing on. It has the medical history, but
I feel like you're a British person talking about harmonicas.
Like a Cockney kind of thing.
Oh, harmonica, Gov.
It's a nice harmonica, Gov.
Yep, that's
there's
perfect.
My British and accent.
You sound like you're born below the Bowery
Belt. I can't
do
any accents of anything. All what? I can do is try to soften my West Virginia, and then it comes back. It comes roaring right back. But that's it. That's the extent of my accents. The first person to play an instrument of glass was actually, it was a glass harp, which is different. That is like rubbing your fingers around the rims of glasses and water and all that. That's the glass harp, which is different than what we're talking about. But that was an Irish musician, Richard Pockrich, and he would perform in London back in the 1740s. The reason I mentioned that, this part of it, even though this isn't the harmonica, mm-hmm. this was like a precursor. This is what it would eventually inspire the harmonica, were these other instruments. And he had his career, could have been an illustrious glass harp career, was cut short because there was a fire in his room that killed him and destroyed his glass harp. I mentioned that because there's like a sinister history behind this instrument. You will see why people have weird ideas about it.
Okay.
So anyway, Edward de Lovell, who was a friend of Ben Franklin, okay? Ben Franklin is going to be part of this story. All of the stuff that Pockrich had done, he extended those kinds of like, I want to also build on this glass harp technology and make instruments like that. And he would make sets of glasses that were sort of tuned, better tuned already, right? Because like mm-hmm. the amount of water in the glass has to do with the sound it makes and all that. Yeah. So like it would take a while. That's a pretty time-intensive, labor-intensive process to, like, slowly add and subtract. I'm imagining, like, with, like, a dropper, taking out a few drops of water and checking the tone and doing it again. And anyway, so he came up with a better instrument that was easier to play and better tuned and that kind of thing, built on what we already knew. And of course, do I need to remind everybody who Ben Franklin was?
Our greatest president.
No, he was not a president.
Mm.
You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay. If you say it sometimes and nobody comments on it, you get a lot of fun tweets. It's worth it.
He was a kite and the key guy.
Yes, the kite and the key guy. Bifocals, post office, mm-hmm. the word news, electricity.
There you go.
There's a delete. He couldn't quite make the cut into Hamilton, but he did get that.
He was almost
that,
in
that
Hamilton.
Great Decembrist cover.
He was in 1776, though.
Yes, indeed. Which, we all remember his great song in that one. Let's go fly a kite.
No, I don't think that's connected to 1776. Does everybody know 1776 as well as we do? Like when we reference that musical, are we the only ones? Are there people out there going, what? Do you mean the year 1776? Like, yes, he was in the year 1776. That's a musical.
They may be thinking like if someone would sing a few bars.
Go for it.
Of it. I'll just get Dad down.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Vote for independence.
Okay.
Dad'll hear that through the ceiling, uh-huh. and he'll come like, he'll dig a hole through the ceiling. Wait.
Hold on,
I
know this.
Wait, I got this.
Did you need me? I heard you call. Anyway, so Ben Franklin, not in Hamilton, didn't make the cut, but he did travel around Europe a bunch, so he did have that going for him. And he loved a lot of that stuff over there. He loved all the European stuff, the British stuff he saw, all of it, right? Real big fan of all.
Love stuff.
Everything that was going on over there outside of the budding United States.
Gout. Gout.
Yep, had gout. Anyway, there's the stuff we know about Ben Franklin.
How many inventions do you think Ben Franklin did where he was like, certainly after this many inventions, history will forget my gout?
Nope. We'll never forget your gout. So he saw one of these performances with the glasses in the water from Edward de Lavaille in Cambridge in 1761. And he was just, he loved it. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. It seems in his area, right? Like, it's cool. It's like science and music, and it's weird. And who in the world ever thought of this? And it's like, it's very Ben Franklin.
It's the exact same impulse that drives people just like Ben Franklin into the waiting arms of the theremin some 200 odd years later. It's the exact same impulse.
So he thought he could do it better. He was like, I love all that you're doing, but I think we could make an instrument instead of just like a bunch of glasses. I think we could make something better. So he set to work inventing it. He invented lots of stuff. Why not this? So he invents his own instrument. He had to work with a glass blower because, again, these are glass-based instruments. I bet you didn't play a lot of glass-based instruments.
Who, me?
Yeah. Well, I know you played other instruments that you made up. So.
Never glass-based.
Anyway, so
I mean, you saw my skills with the iced coffee.
Yeah, you need a lot of practice. So he worked with a glassblower named Charles James, and he helped him create an instrument that he would, like I said, go on to call the harmonica. But basically, and I would really encourage you, like if you just Google glass harmonica or Ben Franklin's glass harmonica, you will see pictures of this. I would encourage you to look at a picture of this thing. Because it's wild. So you use it with a treadle, like you know, with your foot, operate it. And it's got a bunch of glass bowls, all right, 37 of them, to be exact. And there's like an iron spindle in the middle. So you have this horizontal iron spindle and then these glass bowls along the spindle, sort of like kind of inside of one another a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like stacked on their sides.
Yeah.
Is that a good description? You're looking at one.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So you use the foot.
It's hard to picture, but it's like.
It's like a Christmas tree of glass bowls on its side, kind of.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Inside a wooden box with a big wheel on the side.
Yeah. And you use a foot pedal to move it. The way that you make sound with this thing is that as it rotates, as the bowls spin, you will moisten your fingers with some water and then rub them along the edge or just hold them along the edges of the bowl, right? So instead of you having to move your finger, the bowl moves and your finger stays still. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Got it.
Same idea. And the rims were painted different colors so you knew what kind of a note like it was going to produce. Like A was dark blue, B was purple, so on and so forth. I don't need to tell
you. No, list them all.
No, I'm not going to tell you. That's boring. But you can look them up if you really want to know. And the cool thing about it is that you could play, because they were so close together, and you could get your fingers on multiple ones at the same time, you could play different chords and stuff a lot simpler than you could with, like, the glass harp, right?
What about sharps and flats?
Yes, those are marked white.
Those are on there. The accidentals.
Yes, the accidentals. Those are marked white. So you could play different chords and stuff, and it was a more advanced sort of glass harp instrument, right? And the sound was unique, I would say.
I'm ready.
So
whenever you're ready.
Now that we've sort of described the instrument, do you want to go ahead and play a sample of what this sounds like?
Yes. Okay, so this is a clip of a guy named Thomas Bloch playing the glass harmonica. Wild.
It's a cool instrument.
Wait.
Hold on. Are you playing more? So it's like, it's lovely. It's mystical.
Sounds like you're in a forest and there's fairies all around. Mm-hmm. They're like, what's up? Welcome to the forest.
Kind of ethereal.
We got a pond over here. You want to check it out?
Yeah. And it's beautiful. And so he makes this instrument. He's very proud of it. He plays it, by the way. Ben Franklin also played it. Like, he created it and then also became like a...
It would be patently wild if he was like, looks good, put it in the closet.
Well,
that's just what I wanted. Throw it down some stairs.
And then it would break.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a cumbersome instrument. Like, as soon as you make it, you know, like, well, this isn't going anywhere.
You're not going on tour with this bad boy.
Whatever room you put it in, that's the harmonica room from then on, right? Yeah. Like, that's not. And also, the kids can't go in the harmonica room.
This is mommy and daddy's harmonica room.
It's just for adults. Private harmonica adults.
Like Indian food. It's for adults only.
You recognize that, like, kids like Indian food, too.
I'm also referencing something from the ads, which they will not have heard until later, even though we recorded them first. So when you hear that, you'll be like, whoa, big reveal.
Now it all comes together. What are you talking about? We were just referencing the fact that we can't get our kids to eat. So many foods, so many delicious
a lot
foods.
Of foods. Yeah. Yeah,
we're working on it. Anyway,
we'll get there.
The point is, he makes it, he plays it. Other people are excited, want to learn this new instrument, and the first public performance is in 1762. So like the next year, so like he's on it. He hears this in 61, and he's like, I gotta get one. I've got to make it better, and I'm gonna get this lady Mary Ann Davies to play it publicly. Everybody loves it. They're freaked out. It's weird. It's ghostly. Beautiful.
So she plays the glass bowl, the glass harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
She must have been stoked that he invented it. Finally.
Wait, it must have been weird prior to that when people were like, what do you do for a living? And she was like, I play the glass harmonica. And they were like, the what? Hasn't been invented yet.
Hasn't been invented yet. I actually have no idea what it is. I'm just pretty sure that that's why I'm going to, I could do that.
Somebody, Bill and Ted came back and told me.
Right, exactly. That's the only thing that makes sense.
And then they said St. Dimas High School football rules and left. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, and so like initially the instrument becomes quite popular, right? Like everybody loves this thing. It sounds really cool. And over 100 different composers end up composing pieces of music to, you know, specifically to be played on the glass harmonica. Mozart, Beethoven, people are really excited about it. Remember Franz Mesmer from our mesmerism?
Mesmerized cat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He becomes a big fan of it. He plays it a lot, and he incorporates it in his, like, when he mesmerizes people as part of what he does. He plays this instrument to sort of, like, prep them. Like, and you could see, like, if you're in this room and, like, it's kind of spooky and this sort of spooky dude is about to, like, put you into a trance and then he starts playing that.
Creepy.
I'd leave, but for some people, it would set the mood.
Yeah.
Right. He actually, this is sort of just a weird side fact. He gave lessons to Marie Antoinette
on the glass harmonica.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So now you know that.
If you're a usual Sawbones listener, you probably think that Sydney has truly lost the plot at this point. Like, what does this have to do with our show?
So this all sounds great. I've told you about this beautiful glass harmonica invented by Ben Franklin, creates these amazing otherworldly sounds, and everybody loves it. It's very cumbersome to move, but like this cool brand new glass instrument. And that is great, except it's not. And I'm going to tell you about the dark side of the glass harmonica.
Oh, no.
After we go to the billing department.
Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
Did your neighbor back into your car?
Bring that case to Judge Judy.
Think the mailman might be the real father?
Give that one to Judge Mathis.
But does your mom want you to flush her ashes down the toilet at Disney World when she passes away?
Now that's my jurisdiction. Welcome to the court of Judge John Hodgman, where the people are real, the disputes are real, and the stakes are often unusual.
If I got arrested for dumping your ashes in the Jungle Cruise, it would be an honor.
I don't want to be part of somebody getting a super yacht.
I don't know at what point you want to go into this, but we've had a worm bin before.
Available free right now at MaximumFun.org.
Judge John Hodgman, the court of last resort when your wife won't stop pretending to be a cat and knocking the clean laundry over.
Hey, kid. Your dad tell you about the time he broke Stephen Dorff's nose at the Kids' Choice Awards?
In Dead Pilot Society, scripts that were developed by studios and networks but were never produced are given the table reads they deserve.
When I was a kid, I had to spend my Christmas break filming a PSA about angel dust. So yeah, being a kid sucks sometimes.
Presented by Andrew Reich and Ben Blacker. Dead Pilot Society, twice a month on MaximumFun.org.
You know, the show you like, that hobo with the scarf who lives in a magic dumpster?
Doctor Who?
Yeah!
So, we were about to say, this has all been like a bunch of laughs and stuff, but now you're going to tell me that there is actually a downside to this instrument.
So, here's the weird thing. Obviously, you don't know a lot of people today who play the glass harmonica, probably.
Right.
I'm sure some people do, but not that many.
Mm-hmm.
Not included in most orchestras, fair to say. So the popularity of it was pretty short-lived. Mm. Actually, by 1830, nobody's playing the glass harmonica anymore. So that's a pretty quick period of time. 1762, first public performance. By 1830, nobody. Gone. You know, most instruments kind of last longer than that.
Yeah. Is it short-lived? Was it a fad? Would you say it's a fad?
Well, part of it was because there was no mechanism to make it louder, and it's naturally not a very loud instrument. So it became difficult to incorporate into, like, an orchestra. Mm. I mean, imagine that. Like, how do you amplify it? How do you, you know, it's just a very...
They could just use a microphone.
Well, no, it's...
Duh.
It's the late 1700s. They couldn't. But they didn't have a great way to make it louder, and it was a fairly quiet instrument, and so it was harder to incorporate into things or to fill large auditoriums. Like in a big auditorium, you wouldn't hear this, right? You'd have to be sitting fairly close to hear the performance. It was very hard, as we've talked about, to move. Like to try to take this from place to place on a tour would have been almost impossible. It was very work intensive to build. Certainly there were, like, I think all in all, like 4,000 or so of these things made. So there definitely were ones out there, but like it would not be easy to reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also because it developed, and this is probably why it went away, it developed this really strange and deadly reputation.
Why?
At first, it was just sort of like, as to why, I mean, there are a couple different actual occurrences, documented occurrences that I'm going to tell you about. But even before things started happening, there was this sort of sense that it was doing something to you. People would listen to it and feel unsettled by it.
Okay. Yes. I think that that's fair. I had that reaction when I heard it.
They begin to think that, like, if it's making me feel anxious, nervous, you know, a little, I don't even know how to say it. Like
unsettled.
Unsettled. I guess that's the best way to say it. I don't want to say disturbed. That feels too intense. That maybe it's having some sort of effect on my health.
Okay.
That concern began to be voiced, even before we had, like, instances of anything wrong. And many people began to believe that it could cause melancholy, which would have been a diagnosis at the time, probably depression, you know, is usually what you mean by melancholy. Or just this general, what people would say it would cause madness, meaning that it could actually cause some sort of mental illness of some kind. So there was this sort of sense that something was wrong with it. And then what came of that were some actual incidents that people began to connect to the glass harmonica.
Like in a superstitious sense?
I mean, they happened, well, let me tell you.
Okay,
so the first woman that I mentioned to perform on it, Marianne Davies, she would go on tour with this, which I can't even imagine how that was possible. But she would tour with this with her sister was a great vocalist. So her sister would sing alongside her playing the glass harmonica. And Marianne Davies eventually had to stop because she developed severe melancholia later in life. Now, that could have happened to anyone, may have had nothing to do with the instrument.
Could have been bummed out by having to carry that heavy thing all over this nation.
And every time something broke, and then you got to find a glass blower, and they've got to make it just right, and that's a whole thing. There was another player who See, and this was, so like, that's a direct connection, right? Oh, she played it and then she became depressed. I think the instrument depressed her. Mm-hmm. Causation, correlation, yada, sure. yada, but still. There was another player who died at a young age from what was known to be pneumonia, but a lot of people felt like it wasn't really pneumonia, it was the harmonica. And they thought, they were suspicious of that because she was young. Now, I would argue that at the time, we're talking the pre-antibiotic era, dying of pneumonia is not strange.
No.
Sad, tragic, yes. Not unusual. But they began to, that again, that built on this sort of feeling of like, uh-oh, something's up. Look, these two women who are famous harmonica players both die. Well, the other one doesn't die. She develops severe melancholy, has to stop playing, and then this woman dies. People who played it began to, you had these anecdotal reports coming out of, you know, I played it for a while and I felt really dizzy afterwards. Or, you know, I played it and I got really bad cramps. I played it for a while and I felt extremely nervous afterwards. Or even, I played it for a while and I began to hallucinate. So you begin to see these sort of reports like, yeah, I play the glass harmonica and it makes me feel weird. And this continues to build on these beliefs. They start to develop some, like, when I say rules, I don't mean like these were hard and fast rules, but some general like advice as to when you should play the glass harmonica and when it should be avoided, like contraindications, so to speak.
Right.
So basically, if you already have some sort of what they would have called at the time, like a nervous disorder, probably meaning anxiety or depression, something like
that. If you're going to be operating heavy machinery.
Don't play the glass harmonica. If you are well, if you do not have a nervous or any other disorder, if you're fine, if you're healthy, as far as you know, still be careful. Because if you play it too much, you'll get one, was the thought. And then if you are playing it and like as a, you know, this is sort of a caution, if you start to feel melancholy while playing the glass harmonica, either stop immediately or switch to a song that's happier.
A fun one. Take me out to the ball game, perhaps.
On the glass harmonica. That would be fun. That would be a cheery tune on the glass harmonica.
Sure.
That would sound nice. And there were people who wrote about it at the time. There was the Treatise on the Effects of Music on the Human Body by J.M. Roger, which was published in 1803. And he wrote, "Its melancholy tone plunges you into dejection to the point the strongest man could not hear it for an hour without fainting." This is like a medical commentary.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen to this music for an hour, you'll pass out.
That seems like easy to prove or disprove.
And because it was so much like, because it was so trendy and new and popular, and so many people wanted to hear these performances because they'd never heard it before, all of these stories spread a lot faster, right? So, like, the stories from the people who played it, doctors started writing about it. They started blaming all kinds of other things on it, like other than nervous disorders, it can cause domestic squabbles. It can cause a premature birth. It can cause an animal to go into convulsions. It can kill you. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. We're not sure, but it's possible.
It can burn down your room.
Maybe.
You inside, maybe.
And destroy itself.
Perhaps.
We're not sure.
Just to free the ghosts that live inside, maybe.
And all of these stories begin to, like, build up and create all this buzz around it. And in that context, there was a performance in Germany. Someone was playing the glass harmonica. And during that performance, and the accounts of it, I've read some different accounts of it, and it's all sort of unclear. Someone died in the audience during the performance. Exactly what happened is not, I mean, somebody was like, they just stood up suddenly in the middle of the performance, stared at the glass harmonica and keeled over dead. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened, but somebody died. And the result of that is that it was actually banned in that town. Like, okay, we are banning the glass harmonica in this German town. Nobody can play it here anymore.
I remember that Kevin Bacon movie. And now we gotta rub bowls. Rub bowls. Put your finger in those holes. Please. Treaty, play one by the Beatles. Wait, who's that? It's a band that's not around yet. Everybody rub, everybody rub. Everybody rub, everybody rub.
I was just going to let you keep going.
I know. You had that look on your face. You were just threading me enough rope.
That's exactly what I was doing. So, and then people began to ask, like, why is it causing problems? Like, what are our theories? Why do we think an instrument is causing people to die or develop illnesses? What's the deal behind it? And the thought at the time was just that the sound was so complex that the brain becomes overstimulated and then can lead to all of these different things. There were some other, like, more...
like reading James Joyce.
Some other, like... it's the way I feel when I listen to jazz.
Drag 'em.
My brain feels like it's going to explode. All those neurons... No, I've said this before. All the neurons start firing at once, and I feel like I'm going to, I don't know, explode or something.
I get it. You don't believe my dream of opening a real jazz club. I get it.
I just can't. I can't listen to jazz. It makes me anxious. It does. It makes me anxious. So there you go. I guess I understand this. Anyway, others thought that maybe these strange tones are summoning the dead. So that was the other flip side of it, was this sort of like occult belief that it's not something that's happening on a physiologic level or like a psychological level. It is actually summoning like legit spirits, ghosts, demons, dead people, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever your belief of spin on it was.
Perfect.
And they are coming back and then they're, you know, giving us illness and murdering us and whatnot, because that's what the sound is capable of doing. There were more claims of people getting sick while playing, while listening. There was a rumor that maybe somebody, you know, had died of suicide after one of these, after playing it for too long. So all of these rumors mount, all of this. And finally, it just falls out of favor. Everybody's like, forget it. We don't want to play
it
anymore.
It's not worth it.
It's just, yeah, it's too dangerous. It's not worth it. The sound creeps me out. Let's just forget it. And it's also like, really, I mean, the bowls keep breaking.
I'm tired of making bowls.
So
I see all my good bowls.
So it falls out of favor. Now, Franklin, for him, by the way, if you're interested, what was his take on this, right? He invented it. He invented this instrument. He's playing it. He is like probably talking about how cool it is, right? That seems like what Franklin would have done.
Yeah.
Like if people asked him, he'd be like super proud of it and so humble cool. brag about it and all this. But like, he never bought into the hype. He insisted till the day he died. He played the harmonica and said, there's nothing wrong with this thing. You all are ridiculous.
You guys are just sad.
You're just sad.
You're just sad. Calm down.
We don't have TV yet and you're sad. That's all it is.
Someday we'll have TV.
Someday we'll have TV. Don't worry.
Just chill out. Watch some Friends. It'll be invented soon. You'll see. Bill and Ted told me that I'd play glass harmonica and I'd chill out with some friends.
Anyway, so Franklin played it his whole life, never had any problems. In case there's your N of one.
Except for the gout.
Was totally fine. Well, now there you go. He did have gout. Was it the glass harmonica?
You tell me.
So like I said, there's actually about 5,000 were built. I said 4,000. It was actually about 5,000. There's still a few that exist today. As you can imagine, many were broken over time because they were fragile instruments. And you can go look at them in different museums. There was like the Franklin family like donated one after a while to a museum because they were like, listen, our kids keep trying to break the bowls with spoons and it's too dangerous to keep it in the house. So like, could you take it and keep it safe so everybody can see this great thing that Uncle Ben or Great Uncle Ben or Grandpa Ben or whatever he was to them did. I don't know. I don't know which members of the Franklin family it was. But anyway. So, like, you can go look at them still, the original ones made by Franklin. Interest has cropped up through the years. Like, you've seen renaissances of this. Like, in, like, the 1930s, it came to brief popularity again, where some people were trying to play it and build new ones and that kind of thing and, like, make the instrument a little easier to transport and all that kind of stuff. And there was another in the 80s. In the 80s, it came back again. Like, there were some pieces written on glass harmonica. There was some interest in bringing it back. And it's certainly still around. Like, there's still people playing it. There's still music that incorporates it. Not in a huge extent, but it's still out there for sure. It was used in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan for Spock's theme.
Yeah.
Along with the pan flute.
Classic James Horner score.
Yeah. I didn't know that song, but I knew you would.
Yeah.
So it's certainly been used. Some have theorized, like, what was happening? What was the deal with this thing? They've thought about, like, was it lead in the glass? That's a popular theory. Like, well, it was because they would use leaded glass back in Franklin's day. And so people were getting lead poisoning from rubbing their fingers along these glass bowls. And that's why the people who played the glass harmonica were typically the ones who became sick. Now, two problems with that theory. One, what about the people in the audience?
Well, they weren't rubbing the bowls. Oh, I get
so
what
like
you're
why
saying.
Were they yeah. getting sick? Okay, why yeah. was it affecting people in the audience if that was the case? If it was lead in the glass, and the other thing is not so. Certainly, I would not advise. Like, tell you what, go find some leaded glass and rub your hands on it as much as possible, and let's see how much lead you get in your system. but you're not going to transfer a ton of lead into like transdermally through the skin by rubbing glass bowls. Like, you're not going to get a huge dose of lead that way. It's hard mm-hmm. to imagine that somebody could have actually been poisoned by lead in mm-hmm. this manner. On top of the fact that at this time period, like in the late 1700s, lead was everywhere. People were constantly getting exposed to lead. Like, lots of people had low-level lead poisoning going on anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't accidentally being exposed to lead in your day-to-day, lead was in a lot of medicines at the time. So your doctor might be prescribing you something that contained lead. So the idea that these bowls would have been enough exposure when everybody was already getting exposed, you know what I mean? Like, this wasn't enough. This was a drop in the lead bucket, basically. So it probably has nothing to do with lead in the glass, which takes us back to what was happening.
It's a brown note.
I mean...
it's like the brown note for depression. You know, there's like a certain frequency you can play. It makes you poop your pants. Mm-hmm. This is like that, but it's like a certain combination of notes on this glass harmonica. And it makes you go wild and get sad or whatever, you know, effect it has on you. It hits everybody different.
It'd be really interesting to do a study and see like with neurons firing, look at patterns in brain activity while listening to this instrument and see if there is something about this collection of sounds repeated over and over again that has some sort of effect.
That would be really interesting, Sid. I think everybody would be interested in that. My job, it's actually very interesting. I have this old instrument that barely exists, and I rub it to see if it makes people makes people insane, and then I try to figure out why. It's very interesting.
I think it's weird that just all these stories mounted and then it just went away and it's never really regained the popularity it could have had. I mean, I don't know if part of it is just it was a very impractical instrument. It's not the only glass instrument. There are other crystallophones. So like this isn't the only thing that would be difficult to transport and you had to be careful with. I mean, all instruments are fragile in a sense, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, mm-hmm. you can break a guitar.
You can break anything. That's a great point.
I just mean, I don't know why this instrument, it's a mystery. I don't
know why you don't do more episodes that veer outside of medical science, Sydney, because your understanding of a lot of this stuff is very impressive.
I just mean, I don't know. To this day, it's a mystery. Why did this instrument, is it just that it sounds a little creepy? Is it just that simple? Like that the... Maybe. The sounds, even if you're playing a happier song on it, it has that sort of like echoey, mystical sound to it that it makes you feel a little out of this world. And so I don't know. Maybe it's just that simple. But that's the story of the glass harmonica.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed yourself and you weren't driven to depravity by that brief clip that you heard of the instrument. We should have warned people, like, listen, this is kind of like the ring, except probably made up.
I heard, as I was listening to different, somebody was playing the Harry Potter thing on it, the Hagrids. They're not Hagrids.
Hedwig?
The owl.
Yes, gotcha.
Yeah, I think it's called like Hedwig's theme or something. Anyway, yeah, it's that. Anyway, I wonder if it's played on the glass harmonica because it sounded right to me. It sounded like the way it sounded in the movie.
I actually don't really like Harry Potter as much anymore. Sid, I don't know if you've heard, but the creator of the franchise has some problematic takes on people. I'm really surprised that you still love it so much.
Oh my gosh, no, I don't. No, I saw the movies a long time ago, back before we knew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bill and Ted, go tell past me so I don't watch Harry Potter.
Go warn everybody.
If you're listening, go warn everybody.
And if you could do a quick stop off at the Pangolin store and just tell people to not eat them, that'd be great.
Actually, Bill and Ted, there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff, Bill. Now that I think about it, Ted. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed yourself. This is hugely exciting. If you go to McElroyMerch.com, you will find a pin of the month that for February. You can only buy it February, and the pin is called Bookstore Trouble. And it's a stack of books. And this is a pin you'll only enjoy if you listen to our episode about the need to poop in bookstores.
Mariko Aoki.
Mariko Aoki, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Phenomenon.
Yes. I mispronounced that on the episode.
I just fixed it. That's why I was saying it right.
The proceeds for that pin, all proceeds go to the National Black Women's Justice Institute. There is also another... we have a I'm not ashamed of my clown husband bumper sticker.
I'm still not.
And a portion of the proceeds from that will go towards the Huntington Children's Museum, which is a children's museum that I and some other folks are trying to get going. So it's a very funny bumper sticker designed by Jacob Bailey. You can go check that totally out. That will do it for us. Oh, thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicine since the intro and outro of our program. That URL, again, to buy those things, MacLaurinBirch.com. The pin of the month is just this month. The bumper sticker will be there, you know, while supplies last. But that's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.